Welcome to the Teachers of Europe podcast, a podcast to support teachers across Europe in addressing common classroom challenges and featuring teachers that can inspire others to follow their footsteps. My name is Ruth Batista, Senior Professional Development Manager at the European School Education Platform. I'll be your host, and today we are diving into a topic that feels more urgent than ever. How do we prepare students for a world that is constantly changing and often uncertain? From climate change to artificial intelligence, shifting job markets to global instability, young people today are growing up in a landscape that is complex, fast-moving, and sometimes overwhelming. So, what does it really mean to prepare them, not just academically, but also emotionally and socially, for what lies ahead? That's exactly what we will explore in this episode with the support of Marianne Manninen, Counselor of Education and Senior Advisor at the Finnish National Agency for Education, and Tomas Orza, eTwinning Ambassador and Science Teacher from Poland. So let's start with a big picture. What does preparing for uncertainty actually mean? I'd like to invite now actually Marianne to explain what does this mean for her and where she's coming from.
Hello, I'm Marianne and I work with the Finnish National Agency for Education. And my background is in everyday education systems, areas like home economics as a school subject, school meals for all, and consumer education and sustainable development. And in Finland, preparedness and safety are not treated as separate or emergency-driven topics. They are part of our national core curricula and embedded into everyday life in early childhood education and schools. So, when I talk about preparing students for uncertainty, I'm really talking about how we build safe, predictable learning environments that gradually support children's agency, responsibility, and resilience from early childhood onwards.
That's very interesting, Marianne. Which competences and, let's say, dispositions do you think matter the most and how this differ from the traditional academic goals?
For us, preparing pupils and students for uncertainty doesn't mean constantly focusing on risks or future threats. Mm. It means creating everyday learning environments mm-hmm. that help them, the children and young people, develop confidence in their ability to cope, adapt, and act responsibly. Mm-hmm. And we often describe this as a kind of safety and preparedness pathway, and mm-hmm. which starts in early childhood education with very basic things, mm-hmm. predictable routines, emotional security, asking for help, recognizing boundaries. And as students grow older, this gradually develops into more complex competencies. Identifying hazards, assessing risks, cooperating with others, and responding calmly in challenging situations. And the key point is that this is not about covering a curriculum topic. Mm-hmm. It is about how the school functions as a community every day. So preparedness is learned through lived experience, not just through instructions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, would you agree, Tomas, with this perspective?
Hello from Poland. Yes, I totally agree. So for me, it means going beyond context delivery. Of course, covering the curricula still matters. We cannot ignore subject knowledge, but today it's simply not enough. In my practice, this happens through project-based learning and international cooperation. So students take part in the teleconference with a partner school. They create e-books, films, and share presentation. They do field work. They meet scientists. This is very important for me. I'm a science teacher. They reflect on their work through evaluation surveys. They cooperate with universities and other institutions. All of this helps them see that learning is not only about receiving information, mm-hmm. it's about using knowledge in real context. In these practical terms, preparing students for uncertainty means helping them connect knowledge with action. It means showing them that biology, geography, languages, digital tools, and civic education do not exist in separate boxes. Mm-hmm. It means giving them open questions, not only closed exercises. It means letting them experience that learning often starts with uncertainty and grows through the dialogue, testing ideas, and working together.
So this means that let's, for instance, say that a science lesson becomes a way to explore climate solutions. A history class becomes a space to reflect on conflict and cooperation. A language lesson could become an opportunity to build intercultural understanding, for instance. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes, exactly. And I would add one more thing, maybe. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't not hide difficulties, realities from young people, but we should not overwhelm them either. Good education help them understand risk, complexity, and crisis, while also showing them that science, cooperation, creativity, and civic action still matters.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's less about what students know and more about how they think and how they respond.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly. Great. Well, but there's another crucial layer here, and I would say the well-being, because let's be honest, talking about global challenges can be indeed overwhelming for students, like you were saying, Thomas, like a climate anxiety, uncertainty about the future, social pressures are very, very real. So how do schools address this without causing fear or disengagement? And maybe this I will ask to Mariana now, how can actually schools deal with this, and how can schools support the students in this emotional level as they confront difficult global realities?
Okay, from our perspective, well-being is not something that comes after preparedness. It is a prerequisite for it. When students feel psychologically and socially safe, they are better able to engage with difficult topics such as climate change or geopolitical instability without becoming overwhelmed. We therefore focus first on predictable routines, trusting relationships, and calm school climate. And this doesn't remove difficult emotions, but it ensures that students are not left alone with them.
What is your perspective, Thomas, on this? What is the relationship between the student well-being and the capacity to face uncertainty with this confidence?
So in my practice, this begins when teachers stop treating these things as separate extras. That means they should not live only in special workshops or occasion events. They need to become part of everyday teaching. For example, in my classroom, we sometimes prepare extra yoga activity during lesson, biology lesson. So in my work, this often happens through eTwinning and European Blue School activities. Students investigate local ecosystem, compare findings with partner schools, create shared product, discuss environmental risk, and think about important thing, responsible action could look like. The lesson is still grounded in subject content, but it's open towards the future and well-being too. Future thinking enters when students ask not only what is happening, but also what may happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of future do we want to help create? That changes the whole tone of learning. It moves students from passive reception to active interpretation. Project-based learning helps students. It gives a clear structure, a real problem, shared goal, and process of investigation and meaningful outcome. Mm-hmm. So social emotional learning enters naturally when students work together, something discuss, listen to each other, deal with frustration, and learn how to stay engaged when a task is difficult. Mm-hmm. So they are looking a solution of the some kind of problem. So for me, this approach are most powerful when they are not added on top of the teaching, but woven into the normal life of the classroom.
So what you're referring to is that European initiatives like eTwinning or any other European collaboration projects can help the students develop this intercultural awareness, these global perspectives, and sense of shared responsibility, but also in a way that sustains the well-being of the student and the teacher. Did I get it right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And a very good example is our BirdNet project. So if I may, I can say something about more. So
yes,
it was very important project for us. You know, we have been like a Cassandra. At first, it looked like a project about birds, biodiversity, and field observation, but in reality, it became much more than that. My students work with partner school from several European countries, including Portugal, Turkey, North Macedonia, Italy, Ukraine. I come back to Ukraine, Albania, mm-hmm. and Croatia. From the beginning, they were learning in an international setting. They were not only studying birds, they were comparing environment, species, perspectivities, and ways of talking about nature. The project starts with direct observation in the nature, outdoor. This is very important. This is basic level of biology. Students went outdoor, they identified birds using atlases and a special app. Then the project became more STEAM, interdisciplinary project. Students created games, quizzes, puzzles, materials, but the project also opened a space to talk about misinformation, ethics, and responsibility. During activities linked to Safer Internet Day, students compared brood parasitism cuckoos with the way hackers operate online. This unusual connection helped them understand that critical observation and interpretation are important not only in nature, mm-hmm. but also in the digital world.
That's a lovely example. Mariana, do you have any other examples of this European dimension and how the collaboration and the projects can help students develop these skills?
First, I want to say what I heard.
Yeah,
I think that Thomas, you said that the confidence is in the face of uncertainty is not built through exposure or to fear, but through repeated experiences of coping successfully. When a student experiences school as a safe place where challenges are manageable and where help is available, they develop trust, both in others and in themselves. And this trust is the way which allows them to face uncertainty with curiosity rather than anxiety. Okay. Our teachers often integrate these approaches without necessarily using those labels. So future thinking, for example, is present whenever students are encouraged to anticipate consequences plan ahead and make decisions under uncertainty. So project-based learning supports this by connecting learning to real-world contexts where outcomes are not fully predictable. Mm-hmm. And social-emotional learning is embedded in how teachers structure interaction, model calm behavior, and support students in recognizing and managing emotions. Mm-hmm. And a very concrete example is my home economics, so which I'm responsible for the mm-hmm. developing processes for this school subjects. Mm-hmm. It is compulsory subject in Finland, and every task combines practical skills with planning, risk awareness, and responsible decision making. So students learn by doing and by reflecting on the consequences of their choices. And they are their own choices. And it's very important that they reflect what their own choices happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that there are obstacles that teachers face when trying to shift towards, let's say, a more competence-based or future-oriented teaching? Do you think that teachers still face real constraints while trying to shift their mindset towards a more future-oriented teaching?
One major obstacle is that many teachers are expected to prepare students for complexity, resilience, and uncertainty without having been trained to teach in that way themselves. Competence-based teaching needs planning, reflection, teamwork, surveys, and often cooperation with external partners or international works. This is my point of view.
No, that's also very important. Thank you so much. These are indeed not simple questions, and it's not an easy topic to talk about. And that's why it's so interesting to see such different perspectives from both Finland and Poland. I believe that across Europe, educators are still finding ways forward. And often these ways forward are through the collaboration and sharing practices and learning from one another. Mariana, if you would have to give, let's say, an advice to a school leader or policymaker, teacher trainers to support this kind of teaching throughout Europe, what would be that advice that you would give them?
I would say that teachers also face challenges, mm-hmm. but they can be supported. And the key challenge is that preparedness is something included in curricula without being fully addressed in initial teacher education. And this can leave teachers uncertain about expectations. So teachers don't need to become crisis specialists. The need is more with clear structures, supportive leadership, and opportunities for professional development, also mm-hmm. with these kind of issues. And school leaders and policymakers play a crucial role in ensuring that preparedness is a shared responsibility, not dependent on individual enthusiasm. All teachers and all principals can begin with one simple step by step, to reflect on where preparedness and safety already appear in everyday routines, transitions, practical tasks, classroom norms, and make those moments more intentional and visible.
And perhaps also to reflect on how they can talk honestly about uncertainty without creating the anxiety that we mentioned before in the beginning of our conversation. So, also
mm-hmm. I want to add that of course teachers really need entirely new tools, of course. National curricula, professional learning communities, cooperation with local services, and European platforms like eTwinning already offer strong frameworks. Mm-hmm. Often the most valuable resource is time to reflect and learn together as a staff, as professionals.
It's definitely not a moment to be alone. Moving along in our topics, let's reflect a little bit on what happens when students are given this space to engage in the real world challenges. Tomas, you already mentioned a few examples, but in practice, what changes have you noticed in students when they are given this space to engage with open-ended and real world challenges? Have you seen your students developing greater agency, creativity, or sense of purpose through this kind of learning?
I think students become more curious, more presidents, and more willing to take intellectual risks. When students work on real question, that means this, I think, about problem which they found in their playground. Yes, for example. Mm-hmm. So they are looking for real question and solving this question. For example, for true biodiversity observation, water-related project, or ocean literacy. For example, in our school, very, very big project was about amphibians. Mm-hmm. Because amphibians, now is spring, and on the autumn, amphibians migrate across our playground. And these amphibians, you can imagine, sometimes didn't survive this migration. And students saw frogs, toads, and others, and think, hello, we can help them. Yes. And if we find in our environmental, school, social environmental problems like this, which are very easy to solve, mm-hmm. students are very connected with this and they want to find solution to repair this world. This helps students understanding that they can do real change. They are responsibility for this change. So biodiversity observation can be a good start to acting, to asking. And for me, this is something what I like. And when the students are very engaged in project, they are listen very carefully. They are speaking about project with parents, with grandparents. They helping with many things. Another important change can be that students became more patient with the learning process itself. Mm-hmm. They start to understand that uncertainty is not a sign that they are failing.
They are dealing with something real, yes. And maybe they begin to see that learning is not just a preparation for exams, but it is indeed the preparation for life.
For life, yes.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Yes,
can I also
Marianne.
Give an example that helps students engage with real world complexity? Yeah. And it's not inside the school building, it's outside the school building, the whole community, the municipalities, because beyond everyday classroom practices, cooperation with, for example, rescue services and volunteer organizations is very important. And we recommend schools to open their doors also for this kind of experts. And mm-hmm. and have a cooperation with them. I have a very good example in Finland's national No Hätä program. It's for eighth graders, where those pupils are practicing emergency response and risk awareness in realistic but safe settings. And also in early childhood education, the same principle applies in a simpler form. The children practice safety continuously through routines, which I mm-hmm. also mentioned, outdoor play every day, shared mm-hmm. rules, and adult guidance. And these experiences create a foundation that supports later learning about more complex risks.
Thank you. That's a great example. We are moving towards the end of our episode. And before going to the closing words, I would like to ask you both whoever wants to start? What resources or networks? You already mentioned eTwinning indeed, but I don't know if you have anything else to add. What resources or networks or initiatives would you recommend to teachers who want to explore this topic further? I don't know if there's any particular resources, for instance, Mariana, that you have available in Finland that we could be inspired by them, or any other tools?
I think that the most important tools are when students are given space to engage with these real-world challenges in a supportive environment. So we often see greater cooperation and agency. So, and there's, of course, cross-curricular teams and collaboration inside school level. So it's the cross-curricular work is essential because uncertainty doesn't belong to one subject. I mentioned one very important, but it doesn't belong to any subject, I must say. So school culture as a whole matters more than individual disciplines. And European collaboration projects such as this e-twinning add an important dimension to this. Yeah. And when students work with peers in other countries, they develop intercultural understanding and realize that many challenges, climate change, digital risks, social cohesion are shared across borders. And this helps them move from a local perspective to a sense of shared European responsibility, which is increasingly important in an interconnected world.
Would you have any other resources, initiatives that you would like to mention, Thomas?
Of course, I'm eTwinner, so I would strongly recommend it starting with eTwinning on the European School Education Platform. But I'm also a biologist. So for teachers mainly interested in climate, water and sustainability, I strongly recommend it starting with the network of European Blue Schools. We have special group on ESEP platform. You can find us there. It helps bring ocean and water literacy into classroom practice, supports networking and connects local learning with shared European responsibility. And I would add something else. Teachers should not only look for resources, they should look for relationships. And remember, eTwinning is about relationship. I found crazy teacher from Portugal, and we every year have project for, keep fingers crossed, 10 years. We start 10 years ago, and every year we prepare something new. And our relationship is very strong. Teacher and students from Portugal are not only online in our school in Poland and we in Portugal, but we prepared Erasmus project, Blue School project. So very often what change practice is not just a tool or a platform, but a network, a partner school, a university contact, a mentor, a colleague who makes collaboration feel possible and very, very strongly.
What is one thing a teacher could do this week to begin shifting their practice towards preparing students for uncertainty? Do you have one thing, Mariana?
I think I also already mentioned what a teacher can do this week. One simple step. Take one step to reflect on where preparedness and safety already appear in everyday routines.
Okay.
Practical tasks, classroom norms, and make those moments more intentional and visible.
Lovely.
To discuss about that with their pupils.
Yes. What about you, Thomas? One thing that teacher could do this
one
week.
One thing.
Just one.
Okay, maybe I would say that preparing students for uncertain world is not about making school more alarming. It's about making it more meaningful. So we cannot remove uncertainty from their life, but we can help them meet it with knowledge, empathy, resilience, and sense of purpose. So during the project during a trusted with real question connected with other across Europe, we can support teachers together in our teacher room, in every school. So this is important, starting with relation.
Yes. So relationship and giving students the space to explore, discuss, and reflect. And I dare to say, you might be surprised what they come up with, what the students come up with. So preparing students for an uncertain world isn't about having all the answers, for sure. It's about creating the conditions where learners can ask better questions, think more deeply, and act with confidence and care. This is, let's say, the summary that I get from your contributions. Across Europe, teachers are already doing this work, some intervening teachers, some other teachers, often in a small but powerful way. And that's what this podcast is all about, sharing those ideas, amplifying those voices, and supporting each other as we navigate the future of education together. So I would like to thank you now, Mariana and Tomás, for your contributions. I don't know if you would like to say a few final words.
This model is transferable to all of us. Safety culture, continuity, and adult presence matter everywhere. At school, everywhere, at home, are very important.
Well, thank you, Mariana. Thank you for accepting this invitation and for joining me today. Any final words, Tomás?
Thank you.
Maybe that is one of the most important tasks of educational today. Not to promise, certainly, because we cannot do that, but to help young people grow into people who can live, think, and act well, even when the future is not fully clear. Thank you very much for invitation.
Thank you, Tomás. And thank you for being such an invested eTwinner as well. Well, thank you again, both, for accepting this invitation. And that's all for now. Thank you for listening to the Teachers of Europe podcast. And stay tuned for the next episode.